Stuff we're going to take up this morning is place setting. And I do want to leave some time for questions, since this is my last assignment for this conference. In case this message is dry, I think I'll moisten it a little bit. What is place setting? You know, the ape in the zoo, he was mulling over a particular question that had been presented as the zookeeper was going about the chores of looking after the animals in the zoo. And finally he came up with this startling, puzzling question that's perhaps puzzled many people. And the question is this: am I really my keeper's brother? Am I my brother's keeper? What is pace setting? It's an athletic term for a runner who runs with another runner to show how fast a second runner should run at a given time. I like that. You don't have to copy that down. An athletic term for a runner who runs with another runner to show how fast a second runner should run at a given time. A fellow who sets a pace. Pace setter. A runner not only wants to finish the race, but he wants to win. Therefore, he needs to pace himself for the entire distance. He's also a pattern establisher. Purpose is to build, not to break. He is also a way shower. He's a stimulator or exhorter. First Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Back up a few verses in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body. One translation says, I buffet my body. And bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should get cast away. Some people make a fetish of the body. Health, food fetish, health control. And perhaps make it a religion. There's always dangers of taking things too far. But it is interesting here, in regard to the subject of pace setting, to control the body, the temple. Know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Your body was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, as well as your spirit, your flesh, your body, your temple. And this is a temple that we're living in. We're incarcerated in this temple of flesh. And Paul says, I keep under my body. Some have the idea, well, boy, you got to buffet the old body. Bring their subjection. 5 hours of sleep. I've talked to a lot of young people on 5 hours of sleep. And right away they tell me, but John, a lot of people live on 5 hours of sleep. One young woman, educated woman, the other day says, yes, but John, you know, we're learning new things. People can get by on less. I said, now, wait. I said, a person can get by on less sleep is one of the most dangerous individuals I know. Genghis Khan, one of the greatest conquerors and murderers the world has ever known, he took more geography than any other man. He didn't know how to control societies when he conquered them, so he cut off their heads. And he found that a lot of people would go lay down with the body, so he had his soldiers remove the heads a good distance from the body so he could look at them and tell if they were decapitated. But Genghis Khan had a general. The reason I know a little bit about this, missionary told me that Joe, the present emperor or dictator of China, his ambition was recapture the old territory of Genghis Khan. Dick Hillis made this remark. So I thought, I didn't know who Genghis Khan was, so I'd read a book on him. So I did. And he was a terrible conqueror. He was a disciplinarian, had his own code of ethics. And one of his generals neither suffered from fatigue, hunger, or thirst. He was an iron man. But Khan couldn't use him. Why? He neither suffered from fatigue, hunger, or thirst. But he couldn't use him. Why? Pardon? He wears men out. Because no one man, regardless of what kind of Superman he is, can take an army. You have to have a crew. You have to have a team. You have to have an army, a detachment, battalions. You see? And so he didn't have sympathy or feeling or empathy for his men. So he couldn't use it. And so a person that can get by on 5 hours sleep is a dangerous individual because they expect everybody else to whip into shape. And you got a bunch of sick people on your hand or a bunch of... and the, see? Then I've had the argument, well, Edison, he got by on 3 hours sleep. And one young man told me this. I said, well, I beg your pardon, I'm awful sorry. I didn't realize I was talking to a gentleman of this category. He, after he was properly embarrassed. Do you get the point? He was comparing himself with Edison. So if anybody compares himself with Edison, my apologies. Go ahead. Holla. If you're that category of people, boy, let me congratulate you. I'll listen to you. Pace setting. See? Sometimes, well, boy, the way to do the old Buffett the body is to pray all night. Well, that's all right. As long as you pray a little bit each day the rest of the year. But let's watch this minute of praying all night and then skipping it. Jumping in bed and holler, ditto, you know. Keep under my body. Pace setting. Not extremes in any aspect whatsoever. You know, it's appealing to the flesh to really go all out. Wow. Watch it. What's that business of going all out with that kind of a thrust, that kind of emphasis? Set yourself for the cruise. I mean, you want to be going good when you're as old as Don over here, 37 years old, see? You might even want to be going good when you're even 39 years old, or even older, you know? Honestly, gang, if I could say this reverently and sweetly, at 46, I spend most of my time looking over my shoulders at the kids, waiting for them to catch up. Honestly, any aspect, physical, spiritual, any kind of way, Don, they flame out because they don't set the pace. And boy, would they, what's that one? On this business of keeping under the body, keep it in the subjection the right way. You athletic fellows have just as much of a problem as we who have had a problem of building our physiques up to, quote, norm, end of quote. Well, I'm going to get back to that. Come back to that point. Jesus Christ was the first pace setter. Not only our Savior, our Redeemer, but our wayshore as well. He said plainly, follow me. He said, I am the way. How to become a pace setter? First realize that in ourselves we can't. This being an example is realizing that Christ must work through me. But there's some things that I can do. He said, follow me. If he didn't expect me to follow him, he wouldn't have said that. Jesus said, let your conversation, your words be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Jesus never kidded. He never spoke in irony. He always spoke straightforward. When people would ask him a silly question, he would give them a straightforward answer. He didn't give them a silly answer. He would answer their question. They tried all types of tricks. And the closer you and I get to Jesus Christ, the closer our yeses will be yeses, and our noes will be noes. A couple of years ago, a young fellow from Glenary, he'd been here a couple of years, came out to work with me, and I asked him one day, I says, could you drive a car to the San Joaquin Valley for me? And he said, well, Johnny, how badly do you want it driven? Gang, this shook me so much I had to excuse myself and go away and get control of myself. This man was a college graduate. He had a degree, a very brilliant man. But he had so been educated and brainwashed that everything was relative. And I didn't bring it up until later. But later I shared with him, the closer you get to Jesus Christ, and the closer you work with men who have the voice of authority, it isn't how badly. They only say what they mean and mean what they say. It isn't how badly. If it could be any other way, I would never have asked the question. But if you're not used to that, it's always relative. You see? You'll miss that point. It'll take you a long time to get that one, because it takes a lot of scripture going through your mind to get that one. Jesus says, I am the way. He says, follow me. Let your conversation be yes when it's yes, and no when it's no. And the closer you get to Jesus, the closer your yeses will be yeses, and your noes will be noes. It'll be clear-cut no, and a clear-cut yes, and you'll back it up with your life, if necessary. It's so wonderful. It's just so wonderful. You see, you know, you don't have to be like the story I heard. I don't like it very much, but a fella coming downstairs, and his wife was preparing breakfast, and it was a bright morning like this morning, and he felt really good, so he spoke to her. He said, well, good morning, dear. And she, in her breath, she said, no, I wonder what he meant by that. Do you remember the story of the fellow who had a flat tire, and he realized that he didn't have a jack. He had a spare, but not a jack. And it was well along in the evening. He was on a rather lonely road, and he didn't know what to do. So he saw a light in a farmhouse. So he walked up toward this farmhouse, and it got a little later. And he thought, well, you know, I wonder what this fellow's going to say, me going up there to borrow a jack this time of night. He said, of course, nothing I can do about it, man. I'm out here by myself on the road. I got a spare. All I need is a jack. I wonder if he's going to think I'm prowling or going to steal something. Well, of course, he shouldn't, though. But there's a lot of vandalism going on nowadays, a lot of mischief, you know. Of course, he's got no right to think that, but he might. He might think I'm going to steal something. But boy, I'm not. All I want to do is borrow a jack. And so he was going on like this in his mind, and by this time he got to the house, he knocked on the door, and a couple of times, and the fella pushed the screen out down the way and stuck his head out, and he says, what do you want? And the boy says, well, if that's the way you feel about it, you can keep your old jack. You know, following Jesus Christ doesn't give much of a problem, does it? It's following man that bothers us. After all, I don't mind following the Lord. But when it comes to following Ralph Carter, after all, he's a sinner, just like me. But you know, the scripture is taking care of this. 1 Timothy 1:15. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which are hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul says, God gave me the privilege of being a pattern. In the olden days, girls made dresses from patterns. You don't do that much anymore. In the carpenter trade, pattern making, we use a template, a pattern. A pattern. Something you can copy after. Paul says, I became a pattern in long suffering. What have you become a pattern in? Can people take sights off of you in any particular aspect of the Christian faith? Long-suffering? They couldn't pattern after me in long-suffering. I don't have much of that. How can we follow a man? Paul says, follow me as I also follow Christ in 1 Corinthians 11.
1 Corinthians 1:16, John.
1:16, thank you. 1 Timothy 1:16, thank you. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. Mark. get in the sight, focus. Brethren, follow me, as I also follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, you step where I step, because I'm stepping where he stepped. When I first got here, the 1st of April, we went up to Eagle Lake ice fishing. There was snow on the lake. And J-Boy had his boots. I had my boots. And it was a little bit rugged for a youngster to trudge through the snow. So I was trying to get a hold in the ice and get the fishing gear ready. And J-Boy hollered over, hey, Daddy. Yes, son. I'm stepping where you stepped. And Helen said, honey, that is so true. And he was. He was making these long jumps in the snow. Hey, Daddy, I'm stepping where you stepped. Paul says, go ahead. He says, step where I stepped. Because he says, I'm stepping in his steps. And if you step where I step, you'll be stepping in his steps. And he says, you don't have to wait for me. If you find another man that's stepping where I stepped, step where he steps. Because he's stepping where I stepped, and I'm stepping where Jesus stepped. It's all the same steps. Don't be confused. The day in which we live, the day of committees. You know, I heard that... heard the story that they came into the president of General Motors just after Lindbergh had made the solo flight across the ocean back in 28, 29. They came rushing in and said that Charles Lindbergh has flown the ocean alone. And the president, then president of General Motors says, asked now, and he says, you really does it with a committee. You and I are living in a day in which we feel that you got to get three or four people together before it's the truth. We rebel when someone stands up and says, this is the voice of authority. We say, who are you? So when mama, papa, school teacher, officer, and we're teaching our young people this. We're teaching them this. We're teaching... It's the first one of the first steps of the communist to cause the society, the people, to despise the police. Gang, I never criticize the police forces. I don't care what they do. Because I do not want to do the work of the communist. And I don't believe everything I see or everything I hear. I really don't. I can tell you some stories that you won't believe. You won't believe because... all you've consulted is the newspapers and magazines, and from your background, you won't believe it. Well, I can document it, but you won't believe it, other than the fact that you and I are friends. Step where I stepped. You'll be stepping where he steps. A buddy of mine, 17, had a 17-year-old daughter, and he says, honey, what should you do when Daddy tells you to do something? You know what her answer was? But Daddy dear, it all depends on what you tell me to do. I'll declare that was Ernie's daughter. And they love God, and you see. But she had been so brainwashed that it's, you know, it all been in other words, I will answer, or my committee, or the group, not the voice of authority. God is the voice of authority. If you and I practice and obey the voice of authority, it doesn't change. It all comes from Him. And because it happened to come through Dick Wakeman, that doesn't change it. That doesn't pollute it. It's still true. And it's still to be practiced. So don't be confused about this pace setting. Can man really be a pace setter? Why, he's commanded to be a pace setter. Paul says, step where I step. Well, of course. Let me give you some scripture over here in Philippians. Philippians 4. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I can only lead a man as far as I've gone. Several years ago, we had some steers here. We thought we'd raise a little beef. And come time to take them to the market or to the slaughterhouse, have them butchered, so we could cut them up. We had a pickup, and we had one that was kind of stubborn. I was raised on a farm, fussed with stuff a little bit. So I was the guy with the rope with the horns. We had two other guys over here with the prods and trying to get this old steer up in this truck, see. Well, we pulled and yanked and tried to make up him walk up his ramp, see. And finally he got tired of fooling around and he made a bolt right for the back of the truck, and of course I was between this and the truck, see. Well, that's when I moved from the geographical position of leading to guiding. I thought it was the wisest choice at that particular moment. But using the words that you and I use every day, to lead necessitates a geographical position of being in front. If you're some other place you can't lead, you can guide from over here. That's a good way, by the way. Or you can push, but you can't lead without being in front. You got to use another word, you see. You lead. You set the pace. Out front. Those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. This is what challenged me to the navigator's work in the early days. When I saw that a man and wife could live together and could have other people in their home and live harmoniously and share their home in reality, I thought, boy, this is true Christianity. When I saw a man walk where I walked with empathy, would teach me how to tie my tie, how often to change my socks, how to manicure my nails. These are actual things that a nav man helped me with, you see. Practical, everyday stuff. Teach me how to memorize scripture. One man taught me how to witness. We'd go along and pick up a fella, and he'd say, all right, now, Johnny, you tell him the story. And if you get bogged down, I'll pick it up. So I'd try to tell him a story and get bogged down, pick it up. He'd pick it up. And then he'd tell him my mistakes. And then he'd be invited to speak at young people's, or I would, and I'd take it in either case, and he'd go along and critique me, daddy and son. For 3 years, I followed him. Because he was following the Son of God. And I knew it. You say, well, was this man perfect? Oh, no, good night. No, I saw him make mistake after mistake after mistake. But that I was so hungry for the truth. I was so hungry for somebody to take my hand. The boy said, daddy, take my hand. And walk along, you see. Pace setting. This old boy set the pace for me. And I could see it in his life, you see. And he says the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Think on these things, you see. Don't clutter your mind with things that aren't true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and good report. Ephesians tells us that it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Romans, but I would have you wise concerning that which is good, but simple concerning evil. All righty. 1 Corinthians 4:15-16. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Whereas I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Problems involved in pace setting. Problems involved is that the pace setter will get like the Luke 12:11-46. You remember those Pharisees who would not touch the burden with one of their little fingers, but they would lay the burdens upon others. That's not true faith setting. That's not faith setting at all. Another problem is that we get to looking to men rather than to God. Young fella will be looking to men, and when men fall, then his faith falls because his faith is in man. Another problem is that we try to make little navigators or little something else out of these people. We try to make them into a stamp, into a pattern. Another problem is, or excuse is, I'm not good enough to be a pattern, so I don't want people to follow me. That, I think that's about as true a statement as we can make. We really aren't. But we're not asking people to follow us because of us. We're asking people to follow us because we happen to be in the way, as old Eleazar, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I was in the way, and so we want people to be in the way, not because of us, but because of him. But they can't see him because they walk by sight. See, the carnal man walks by sight, not by faith. Like a child walks by sight. You know, I figured this out. You can figure some things out. When Jay was little, and we're going to leave him with a babysitter, although it'd be one of his real good friends like Verna or Patty Galasso or someone else that he knew and loved, I wouldn't tell him that we was going to leave him with this person until this person was in his sight. Like if I was going to tell J-Boy that Mom and I were going downtown or going shopping or going out to lunch and Lum was going to look after him, I'd have Lum there. And I said, J-Boy, Mom and Dad thought that you and Lum could have such a good time while we go visit these friends for lunch. And then we've got to go back and tell him his relationship with Lum. He could see Lum. He gets so excited. But we tried this business of Lum. Now, who's Lum? Lum, Lum. You know that boy that just went out of the room? Well, he's a little fella. He forgets the fella that just went out of the room. He wants to see it in his sight. That's the way a carnal man is. Carnal man has to see. So all the carnal man sees is us. I remember years ago I was transferred from a ship. No boy had been trying to witness win for 3.5 years. I witnessed to him many, many times. His name was Fred Jarko. We was there, sitting there in the compartment getting our stuff together. We were both being transferred. He said, well, John, he says, I'm glad to be transferred with you. I said, why is that, Fred? He said, well, so we can be together. I said, Fred, that's kind of a strange statement for you to make. I said, I remember a few years back, we went on liver together. We went to church together. Different places, Honolulu, down in New Zealand. But he says, these recent months, I said, pal, we hadn't made a liver together in over a year. Seems like our ways have separated. Fred had gone more and more to the bottle, and I had grown more and more in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, yeah, I know. By this time he was crying. Great, big, broad-shouldered, bull of a guy. He said, but I know God's going to look after you. And if I'm close by, maybe you look after me too. All he could see was a bundle of carnal flesh with the Spirit of God living in it. That's all he could see. But he saw that. You see? That's the reason we have to set the pace. And oh, I tell you, you know the Philistines, the sinner, they'll let you get by with so much. They really will. They really aren't hard taskmasters. They're not nearly as hard a taskmaster as a believer. They realize that you have faults. But this is the reason we have to look to God to be this pattern. Another excuse is nobody ever told me. Well, who told Paul? You know, it's an interesting thing. Paul was chosen to be the first pattern in long suffering, but yet Paul was not in a direct dissension of the personal teachings of Jesus Christ. I've been thrilled about this point many times. You see, he taught the 12. And if you and I was a direct descendant of one of the 12, you see, that'd be something. But we aren't, in all probability, one of the, maybe the Martoma Church in India from St. Thomas. But most of us came through the works of Paul, and there was a gap in there as far as personal teaching. He wasn't taught personally by the Lord. He was taught by the Holy Spirit, because the Lord had already gone to glory when Paul came on the scene. Isn't that wonderful? And yet Paul did the same thing that Jesus did in regard to establishing disciples. So we have to throw out that excuse that, well, nobody ever told me. Dawson used to say, by the way, gang, who told me? Dawson had to take on the whole shooting match. He was only one man. And he got pressures from all over. Look at Hebrews 5. You like this passage. Hebrews 5, 1 and 2. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. This is speaking of the high priest in the Old Testament. Listen, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. That's the qualification for a pace setter. Fellow who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is encompassed or circled with infirmity. All right, in what part of my life should I be an example? Gang, I believe in everything. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily to the Lord. Particularly in relationship to the Word of God. Am I getting by on the bare minimum? Or am I having a spiritual feast? Sea is a passing grade, you know. Am I getting by on the bare minimum or having a spiritual feast? John 8:31-32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth makes us free. Show example, in particular in relationship to others. Paul said of Timothy in Philippians 2:20-21, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. I have only one man who has a nature to care for others. The rest of them seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Whose nature it is. Got a letter from a gal the other day, a staff member. We had helped her buy a car. She's a little younger than me, but she's a mature woman. Been with the Navigators, lo, these many years. And she said, John, I appreciate this. She said, you know, I suspected that you were at the bottom of this. And she said, I talked with so-and-so and so-and-so, and I found out that you really were. And I want to thank you. And thank you for your gift, too. It wasn't very much, by the way. She said, you know, she said, I surely was surprised. She said, if I remember correctly, you were at the bottom of the other time I was surprised. She's been surprised twice. Served God for years and years. She's been surprised twice. Isn't that just wonderful? I tell you, we should hang our heads in shame. She's had a favor done for her twice of any substantial nature. Woman of God, served him faithfully. You were at the bottom of it the other time. You know, I didn't feel good. I didn't feel good that I was at the bottom of it the two times that she was surprised. I didn't feel good at all. I felt terrible. You mean to tell me that of all the Navigators and of all the believers that a person can get up 30, 35 years old and just be surprised twice on a good favor or a good gesture? My gang, there's so much room. There's so much room. And I've done so little. I've done so little. I remember one time Doss said, we're having lunch together down at the Mayflower in Los Angeles. And I should say lunch, it was soup, really. In those days we had $2 a week. We had to eat on it, eat lunches on it as well as other things. And 1948. He said, you know, gang, I wonder what God would have done if I'd have paid the supreme price at every turn. I thought, man, this is crushing. Here, this man has a worldwide work, and he's saying what God would have done if he'd have paid the price. How about me? I hadn't even scratched the surface yet, you see. But many times people have said, John, thanks. You know, this is the only time this has ever happened to me. I guess we should feel good, Ralph. But I can't. I just can't feel good. Good night shirt. A grown person, and this is the first time any kind of a gesture of love or concern has ever been done to them? What a dearth in the land. What a dearth. Well, we shouldn't be surprised, I guess. Paul says, I only have one man whose nature it is to care for your estate. The rest of them, they're looking after rule number one. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Tragically, we have it here, where we fight it day by day by day by day. And I think I'll lay a kid out faster and smoother and with more blood on that kind of an attitude than anything else. If a kid comes to me and says, boy, Johnny, I tell you, boy, this flesh, I lust after women. Or if a gal comes and says, you know, John, I just can't keep my eyes off of that boy. It doesn't bother me. I pray with them. You know, and we claim God's victory, but it doesn't pierce my soul, you know. Because I know that these are the temptations that almost inevitable. But when someone has this attitude of, well, I'm doing my work. If they come around and say, Johnny, you know, the Lord may be leading me to Miami. I said, let's pray about it. Yeah, I'm praying with him. Do you need a little help getting there? Because I'd just like to ship it. I really would. I don't, but I'd like to. Because that kind of attitude will kill you. But the attitude of a kid that's having problems over the flesh or gluttony or something like that is, you can handle that. But when you get this other attitude, well, Paul says, I only have one man. Just one man. Philippians 2:20. For I have no man like mine who will naturally, whose nature it is to care for your estate. But everybody else is looking after their own little bailiwick. And he's talking about ministers and the people that he had on his crew. Keep it in balance. Luke 2:52. Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, favor with God, spiritual, man, social. Luke 2:52. You might want to memorize that one. Luke 2:52. Jesus increased in wisdom, intellect, stature, physical, favor with God, spiritual, man, social. That's the four places that, four categories that he will. Wisdom. You want to keep the old mind up. Maybe you've graduated from college or maybe you didn't graduate. But you want to be working on stuff all the time. Just working on stuff. Wisdom, stature, physical. You want to keep the old body in shape. You don't want to overdo it or underdo it. You want to watch it. You want to eat too much or too little. Too much exercise, too little exercise. Too much sports, too little sports. Too much recreation, too little. You'll watch it. He'll show you. Faith with God, spiritual. Well, I suppose we spend most of our time trying to keep ourselves spiritually qualified, don't we? And others. Most of our ministry is trying to keep it. And social. We're a little bit lax on that. Social. I had a couple of guests, a couple of ladies, a couple of girls. Girls to me, ladies to you. Come by last night. They're friends that I knew in Oakland. I knew them 20-odd years ago. And so one of them has a chalet up at Trails West, a young one. And she now lives in Minneapolis, she and her husband. I think I was about as weary last night as I've been. I was shot, you know. But I thought, they're going to only be here just a little while. And why don't I just go whole hog? So right away, I tried to talk them into staying overnight. And sure enough, they did. They stayed overnight. And I was so glad that I was able to succeed in being hospitable to care for their state when I wanted to go to bed. You know, because I'm having a wonderful time in the conference. But I also have my other responsibilities of Eagle Lake and the other chores around that keep you going. And so I just happened to be tired. But I wanted to wash it on the social. And I don't know if that was social or spiritual, but either one I should do. Don't burn out or be too lazy. How many holes in the boat does it take for the boat to sink?
One.
How many diseases in the body does it take to claim the life of a person? How many holes in the fence before the cows get out? Or in, excuse me. Four? One. That's it.
Okay.
Okay, gang, I tell you, we've got a few minutes for questions. Yes.
Is there anything to the fact that a person might have a, what they call a higher metabolism and might be just...
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is. Don't say too much about it. Praise God for it and use it. But don't preach it as a doctor. Yes, decidedly. Doss, got a hold of the book. What was this fella in Europe that had the orphanage? What was his name? Mueller. Was he the one that prayed in the mornings? Yeah. He used to read all these autobiographies, a lot of these. And he read where people got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray. But you know, he never read till it was too late that they went to bed around dark, 7, 8 o'clock. And someone said, well, you know, anybody don't know that you ought to go to bed. Todd said, anybody don't know it either. So he was staying up at 11, 12 o'clock ministering to sailors and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. 5 years all it lasted. He broke his health. I was listening to a record this week where Doss testified, I broke my health from lack of wisdom and nobody helped me. And Doss was about as sharp on his verses and about as much drive as any man I have ever known. He says, watch it. So I say if a person can do more than another person, praise God for it, don't make it a doctrine, and go ahead and use it for his glory. Any other questions? Would you like to stand up? Go ahead.
I know that fellow that you were talking about made that sort of night drunk when you asked him to drive the car somewhere. Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you'd explain that just a little bit.
Now, this wasn't a slide remark.
He was honest
as he could be. His heart is pure. His heart is pure. But he has been used to things relative. In other words, I ask him to do something, and he has not been used to working with a man who only asks him what he wants. He's after bargaining back and forth and a meeting of the minds. See? When you walk with God and pour over the scriptures and try it with all your heart and soul for years to do what's right, your words get closer and closer to his words. And further and further away from the meeting of the minds, or what do you mean by neighbor, or it all depends on what you say, Dad. It isn't that you're my daddy, and you raised me, and the Bible says I should respect you and honor you and obey you, you see. He come from this element, you see. The professor of the university, very, very few of them will say, this is it, but it's relative, you see. Well, some things are relative. But when it comes to saying what you're meaning and meaning what you say, see, and we accept it. We accept these standards. In love affairs, we accept these standards. We absolutely accept and do not condemn a fellow or a girl for saying things to another fellow or girl that are flat, cold lies. They don't mean it. But we accept it and kind of smile, well, that's love. That's not love, that's lies. You follow me? We accept this. That's wrong! That's wrong! Then we wonder why we wind up with problems. I don't want to talk. Questions? Yes?
When you were talking about those people who would come to you and say, well, let's pray about the sin that I have with the loss of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't understand how they, you think this. I didn't understand what you're trying to say there. Whether you think this is good for somebody to come to you and talk to you, I think that maybe if somebody else came and said, I'm praying about going to song.
No. The point is, that kind of a sin, ordinarily, we think is hideous. And we don't mention it. And if anybody's guilty of that, oh, wow, we, you know. But the sin of, I've got my work done. Now you people just go right ahead and I'm going to take off. See, with lifting our nose, we don't think much about it. But this was what Paul, you see, this girl that says the other time that I was surprised. You were at the bottom of it, you see. My point is, what a tragedy. We do so little for other people to go out of our way to care for their state. But when it comes to a sin of the flesh or the sin of sex, you know, stone them with stones, you see. But we wink at or it hardly enters our mind. Here's one brother have an opportunity to befriend another brother and he doesn't do it. This doesn't break our heart. It should break our heart, you see. And this is what pays off. People remember and appreciate and love you for you thinking where they are and walking where they are. This is pace setting. This leading them. See, those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And I have many fellows following me, following Christ through me, not because of what I've done for him, but because of what I've done for him. And he says, boy, I'm going to follow this guy because this guy's helping people. And they like that. You don't always have to, I don't always have to help Lum to get Lum to set the pace for Lum. I can help Ralph. And Lum sees this and he said, man, that's the kind of thing I like. Yeah, I'm going to get on that team. And then I can help people. I can set the pace. Is there any other question on that? Is that clear? I'm glad you brought that up.
John, we yes. very often lose real blessings, too, if we neglect to help someone else. This can be a tremendous help, especially to young Christians, mm-hmm. to get on a team and really help someone else.
And the help can be in all kinds of ways. Was there another? Yes.
Well, you mentioned Philippians 4:9, and I thought the class I was in with Dr. Henry Grant one time, and he was talking about this verse, those things that ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And one of the students brought up the old question, well, isn't Paul for a trout, you know, for like this case for us.
Yeah.
But Dr. Grant looked right at him and said, if you could say the last part of that verse, the God of peace shall be with you, go ahead and say the first part.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
If you can say the last part, that what you're doing, if you're doing it this way, the God of peace will be with you. If you can say the last part, it's okay to say the first.
Look at Philippians 4 just a moment. Philippians 4, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. Weiss translates this, let your sweet reasonableness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I don't know if that means the Lord is at hand, meaning he's here with me in the Holy Spirit, he's ever near, or that he's soon coming. But both are true, of course. Be anxious for nothing, or be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God comes through a basic committal of prayer and thanksgiving. The peace of God. That's something that God gives us. The peace of God. But the person, the God of peace, in the bottom of verse 9, comes when we do those things. That's right. We experience the God of peace, the personal relationship with God and his closeness and nearness, when into practice have come these things that I've outlined in verses 8 and 9. But the peace of God can come through a basic commitment. You can be anxious, you can be frustrated, you can have things bothering you and just draw yourself aside, either figuratively or actually, and just commit it. Lord, I'm just troubled. I'm anxious. I'm excited. I'm committing this to you in the name of Christ, and I need your peace. And you can get it just like that. But this personal relationship, you see, I have a camaraderie, a personal relationship with Helen, because I completed 10 years yesterday. I'm starting my 11th year today. Today is our anniversary. 10 years ago today, right here, you're there. I'm experiencing a personal relationship because of our walk together and experience these 10 years. And this is the God of peace angle. But the peace of God comes through a decision. You get married through a decision, right? Make a decision, have a ceremony, different carbon says, because the law invested me in the state of Nevada or Colorado or California, whatever. I now pronounce you man and wife. We say, oh, rice and old shoes, you know, da-da-da, and you're right. See? There you are. Okay? Any other questions? Yes? Pardon me? Yes, first 5 years. Yes. He had to watch it right on. Oh, wow. Of course, you'd think he was going 9 miles an hour, but he watched it constantly. And the last 2 years, he'd had it. He dictated much of the time laying on his couch, laying flat of his back on his couch, dictating. Yeah, he'd had it. You see, gang, these things aren't hearsay, you know. Neither can you gainsay them.
Right? This was a prevalent philosophy, though. 40, 50 years ago, yes? A missionary goes to the mission field to burn out for Christ.
Yep.
And this is what they
did. A lot of them did. And they did. They sure did. Who was it that said, Dawson mentioned this fella, was it David Brainerd? You know? He said, boy, you know, he got very much, but nobody ever told him. He died at 29, was that the one? And Borden of Yale was about the same age. You see, we don't publish the fact that he died at 29.
When you were talking about Mueller, was it Dawson
who did
that, or was it somebody else, and then you pushed it off?
No, I think it was Dawson. Mueller was one of his, he read them all. Taylor, Mueller.
He was the one that was affected by the 4 o'clock in the morning.
I'm not sure. Maybe it was. I may have it confused. I think maybe the Mueller was the one that was affected with the orphanage on the faith business.
Yes, he was. But I was wondering if Doss was the one who had read about Mueller getting up at 4 o'clock, and that's what affected Doss. Or you talked about some other person that had read
this. No, Dawson read about Mueller or one of these fellas about getting up early, and or more than one, really. See. He also got much of his financial applications from Mueller's life. Yes?
George Mueller didn't get up early in the morning, as I recall from the meeting. He lived to be over 90. He used to have an admin.
Now, I could have it confused. I read a little bit on Mueller, but I could have it confused. But it was one of these fellas that we got up early in the morning, and that's where he got the idea. See? Pardon me?
I think Ted was.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Pardon me?
Mm-hmm.
And you can get up early in the morning and live a long time. My grandmother just died in January this year. And boy, she got up early in the morning and worked hard on a farm in a hot sun in Alabama and cold in the wintertime. And you could see out of her old house most any place, not most any place, but a few places, like around the cracks, you see. She died at the young age of 94. Yes?
I think Moody was the kind of a pace sitter and not sleeping much. He slept about 4 hours a night from midnight till 4, and up to study and pray. And he died at a pretty old age.
Yeah.
He had an ability to take a short nap when he was speaking someplace. They'd find him in a back room, taking a 10-minute nap, just wake him up.
See, our problem is, a lot of times our strong point becomes our weak point. And we make a fetish of a doctrine over some ability or gift that we have, and we impose this on others. Now, the thing that challenged me about Doss, he was willing to take a hod carrier from Alabama and try to work with him, with his abilities and his gifts, and make the best of it. And that's the success of our work in Northern California. We were able to take businessmen, old hard-headed businessmen, recruit them for God, and get them going, just like we can young sailors and young airmen and soldiers and Marines, because we were willing to take him where he was and start there. And that's the secret. Many times, Doss would talk to leaders, and he would face them, eyeball socket to eyeball socket, and says, who is going to carry the ball when you die? They asked Doss that one time. They said, what's going to happen to the navigators when you die? He said, I've spent my whole life answering that question. How do you like that answer? All I have ever done is work on that question. That's right. It's all he's ever done is work on that question. And we have had problems since Doss died, but not the problems that people might have thought we were going to have. The problem that we've had since Doss died is the multiplication could get away from us. We could grow too fast. We could reach too many people too fast without orienting them into the faith correctly. That's the biggest problem that we have faced since the day he died. And probably faced. Rather than the falling apart idea, you know, of people going different ways, they've come closer for more and more help. Questions? 10:34. Thank you, gang, very, very much for this time. You've been very patient. And I have appreciated the opportunity of sharing these things with you, and I have appreciated the research and study that I've been doing and the tapes that I've been listening to. It's sure been a treat for me. That's about a prayer.